and so was the other, and he set the cherubim within the inner house. And could you guess it? Of course, right in the inner house, this is the throne room. We find that this is where the cherubim are. They're in the very closest place of fellowship with the Lord. It would be wonderful to be any kind of a stone or a precious stone in that temple, but more wonderful to be fashioned as a cherubim so that we would be in the inner house. And they stretch forth the wings of the cherubim so that the wing of the one touched the one wall, the wing of the other cherub touched the other wall. Their wings touched one another in the midst of the house. All right. Let's see. Where was I? Yes, we find these same, as we've noticed before, these same living ones are the cherubim. They're called living ones. They're called beasts over in the book of Revelation. Ezekiel saw the same figures, and they're always associated with the greatest amount of glory, being in the right around where Jesus is. Verse 38, in the 11th year in the month Bull, which is the 8th month, was the house finished throughout all the parts thereof according to the fashion of it. So in 7 years in building it. It's number 7 being the number of perfection. And of course, God will wind up his dealings with the church in due time. In other words, in the perfect time. Chapter 7, verse 1, Solomon was building his own house 13 years. He finished all his house. He built the house of the foreign of Lebanon, forest of Lebanon, and all these other different things. It describes his house and how that he built those various things. In verse 21, he set up the pillars in the porch of this temple, set up the right pillar, he called the name thereof Jachin, and the left one was called Boaz. Now, these two pillars tell us of the strength of Christ as far as his judgment goes. That is, Jachin means he shall establish, speaking of the eternal judgment as it were, are the statues of Christ. That is, he judges by the eternal word of God. His dominion is established. His justice is established. His throne is established. And he called the name of the other Boaz, which means strength. And so tells us of the strength of his priesthood and of his ministry. And upon the top of the pillars was lily work. So was the work of the pillars finished. He made a molten sea. That molten sea is the laver. And, of course, it is very fitting that it should be here, because heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away, Jesus said. And so the laver is a typical part of or symbol of the word of God. In verse 47, it's interesting, Solomon left all the vessels unweighed because there was exceeding many. Notice, neither was the weight of the brass found out. Now, in the scripture, brass is significant of judgment. And this simply tells us that we will never fully know the weight of judgment that fell on Christ for us to make us part of that temple. We can't enter in. We can't comprehend the full extent or weight of that judgment that was poured out upon him for us. Verse 51, so was ended all the work that King Solomon made for the house of the Lord, and Solomon brought in the things which his father David had dedicated, the silver and the gold and so on. Chapter 8, Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and the heads of the tribes, the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel, and the king Solomon of Jerusalem, that they might bring up the Ark of the Covenant. And so now they were going to bring up that Ark and put it in its place. And when they did, in verse 8, they drew out all the staves, that the ends of the staves were seen out in the holy place before the oracle, and they were not seen without. And there they are unto this day. Now they pulled out these staves, which just signified that it was here never to be removed again. And so, as we said, this figures Christ and his people permanently in heaven. There's the days of carting it around, or I don't like that word because that's the way the Philistines did it, but the days of carrying this ark around were over. But notice at this point, there was nothing in the ark in verse 9 save the two tables of stone which Moses put there at Horeb. Now, you remember when we had this over in the wilderness, there was the pot of manna in there. There was also Aaron's rod that budded. But at this time, those are not needed. We don't need the baby food, which is the manna. I mean, we've outgrown that long ago. And the rod that budded tells us of the resurrection, and that is behind us. So the only thing needed there now is, again, the two tables of stone representing the word of God, which shall never pass away. And so eternal in the heavens. All right, verse 10 came to pass. When the priest came out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord. And the cloud always is associated, or it designates the glory of God. And so there will be such clouds of glory when Christ and his people are really revealed in the wonderful splendor that there is. This actually shows us the glory of the New Jerusalem, of the throne room, and so on. Verse 12, Solomon, then spoke Solomon, the Lord said he would dwell in thick darkness. I have built thee a house to dwell in, a settled place for thee to abide in forever. The king turned his face about, blessed all the congregation of Israel, and all the congregation of Israel stood. And then he says in verse 7, 17, it was in the heart of David my father to build a house for the name of the Lord. But he did not do that, but nevertheless, verse 20, the Lord has performed his word that he spoke, and I am risen up in the room of David my father and sit on the throne of Israel as the Lord promised. I have built a house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. So he says, all of this that you see is a fulfillment of the promises of God. And of course, we're going to see that that fulfillment as far as spiritual things go, because we're going to see the wonderful glories and the beauties that Christ has for us in the heavenlies. Verse 35, he tells of things that are going to come to pass after a few years later, because all of this wonderful glory and majesty did not continue because the people were wicked. They were not a new creation. That is as a nation. Verse 35, when heaven is shut up, there is no rain, because they have sinned against thee. If they pray toward this place, confess thy name, and turn from their afflicted to sin, and you afflicted them, then you will hear in heaven, forgive their sin, and so on. So we find here again, the reason for famine in Israel is because of the disobedience of the children of Israel. But notice, if they pray toward this place, that is toward Jerusalem, and recognize God and confess the name of the Lord and turn from their sin, well, then the Lord would hear them. And we find these things will come to pass in the end time, because Israel already, of course, it is in unbelief and more informed than anything else now, because you remember that when they got to the Wailing Wall, then they wrote down little old prayers on pieces of paper and punched them in between the rocks and things like this. Well, they know that there is something special about Jerusalem. But at this time, they will realize that Jerusalem simply means the home of the king. That is, this is it signifies that God is the king, that Christ is the ruling one, and Israel will recognize him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Verse 38, what prayer and supplications will ever be made by any man or by all the people, Israel, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart and spread forth his hands toward this house, then you shall hear in heaven, and forgive and do and give to every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest, for thou, even thou only knowest the hearts of all the children of men. And we can say that today, that God knows the hearts of men today. So, of course, we are gladly open our hearts before the Lord. All right, in verse 54, it was so that when Solomon made an end of praying all this prayer and supplication unto the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his hands or on his knees with his hands spread to heaven. He stood and blessed the congregation. Verse 56, he blessed the Lord and has given rest unto his people Israel according to all that he promised. There has not failed one word of all this good which the Lord promised. Verse 61, let your heart, and notice that he emphasizes the heart condition, not just the rituals of the law that they have observed. Let your heart be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes, to keep his commandments, as this day the king and all Israel with him offered sacrifices before the Lord. At this point, the king is representative, that is Solomon, representative of Christ as the priest, and a twofold role. Now, all of the kings did not have this distinction. In fact, some of them, you remember, were judged because they entered into the priest's office when they were not supposed to. But Solomon has the distinction of being a king and a priest also, as Jesus is. So we will find, of course, that he will pour out blessing upon his people, and Calvary will be remembered at that point too. Chapter 9, it came to pass when Solomon had finished the building of the house of the Lord and the king's house, and all Solomon's desire which he pleased to do, the Lord appeared to him the second time as he had at Gibeon. And he says, I've heard your prayer and your supplication which you've made before me. I've hallowed this house to put my name there, and so on. And then he tells him of some things that will come to pass if he does not yield to God. We will read a few of these in verse 6. If you shall at all turn from following me, you are your children, and will not keep my commandments and statutes which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods, I will cut off Israel out of the land which I have given them, This house which I have hallowed for my name will I cast out of my sight. Israel shall be a proverb, a byword among all people. At this house, everyone that passes by shall be astonished. They shall hiss. They shall say, why has the Lord done this? Verse 9, they shall answer, because they forsook the Lord, and so on. Now, you will find that all of those things came to pass. Verses 6 to 9, we will see those actually in our studies in the book of Kings. And, of course, they are laid waste even now, the temples and so forth of Israel. And Israel realizes they must have this land that the Arabs are occupying, and because the temple will be built at this particular point. That there's some kind of a mosque that's built over there at that in that location now. And Israel must have that, you see, because the temple will be built there. Well, God did just exactly what he said he would do. He did it locally, and he did it in the far-reaching fulfillment. Why, it's an astonishment what happened there. So God brought all of that to pass. All right, verse 24, Pharaoh's daughter came up out of the city of David unto her house, which Solomon had built for her, and then did he build Millo. Now, as I said, this fellow had to have some way to satisfy all these women, and it seemed like he built each one their own house. Maybe this is when he wrote that proverb, it's better to dwell in a corner of a rooftop than in a broad house with a brawling woman, you know. So he made each woman a house to brawl in, maybe. I don't know. But anyway, he built this house for her. And in verse 25, three times in a year did Solomon offer burnt offerings and peace offerings upon the altar which he built to the Lord. And he finished this house. He was quite a builder. In chapter 10, the queen of Sheba heard the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. She came to prove him with hard questions. Now, Sheba is actually typical of the nations.